Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament in the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 42. I want us to read Isaiah chapter 42 and 43, but to do so in two parts. So first of all, I want us to read Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, he shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar, he shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills, and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none said, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his way, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Amen. And we look to the Lord to give us understanding and his blessing. upon that reading of his own holy word. Let us continue our worship, singing this time from the words of Psalm 110. 110. And we're singing verses 1 through 5, the first five stanzas. The Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes a stool for on thy feet may stand. The Lord shall out of Sion send the rod of thy great power. In midst of all thine enemies be thou the governor. A willing people in thy day of power shall come to thee. In holy duties from morn's womb thy youth like dew shall be. The Lord himself hath made an oath and will repent him never. Of the order of Melchizedek thou art a priest forever. The glorious and mighty Lord that sits at thy right hand shall in his day of wrath strike through kings that do him withstand. Psalm 110, 1 through 5, the Lord did say unto my Lord. Let's now turn back again for our second reading to continue there in the prophecy of Isaiah and in chapter 43. Behold, now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved and have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? And again we look to the Lord and trust that he will grant his blessing upon that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship, turning this time to the second psalm, Psalm 2, and singing from the beginning of that psalm. Why rage the heath in unvain things? Why do the people mind? Kings of the earth do set themselves, and princes are combined to plot against the Lord and his anointed, saying thus, let us asunder break their bands and cast their cords from us. He that in heaven sits shall laugh, the Lord shall scorn them all. Then shall he speak to them in wrath, and rage he vex them shall. Yet notwithstanding I have him to be my king appointed, and over Sion my holy hill I have him king anointed. The sure decree I will declare, the Lord hath said to me, thou art mine only son, this day I have begotten thee. Second psalm in these first five stanzas, why rage the heathen? Would you turn with me to the portion there we read, the second of them, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And I want us to think through these two portions of scripture that we read about the ministry of the servant of the Lord and the ministry of God's people. But I want to go first of all to a familiar scene at the end of Luke's Gospel, where we have the people walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes into the company and he opens up for these two people the scriptures of the Old Testament to encourage them in their despondency. The Old Testament, rich and full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what was given to them, and when it was opened to them, their heart burned within them. There was a joy rising up deep within them that up till then they had not had. And the whole of the Old Testament focuses upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Pointers, signs, illustrations, time and time again, directing our thoughts forward to the fullness of time and the coming of the Saviour. And that's the key to understanding this portion of Isaiah. The history of it is simply this, that Israel, God's people, were going to be taken off in exile, and they were going to be captives in Babylon. But God had not and would not forget them. They did need to be corrected because of the sin that had come into their life. But they were not going to be abandoned. It might be severe, the measures the Lord brought about into their life, but they were, after all, to deal with a severe problem. But however severe the problem in the behavior and the life of God's people, that was not going to thwart, nor was it going to frustrate God's eternal and ultimate purposes for them. The same prophet here, Isaiah, tells us that the word of God is sure and will not return to him void. And if God has entered into a covenant and has given assurances for his people, then these things will ultimately be fulfilled. The future for them was stormy. They had sinned and they were going to inherit the consequences of that. But the nation was going to survive. And in the fullness of time, the Savior Jesus Christ was going to come and redeem his people. When you read of the servant in Isaiah, there are times when Israel is the servant, but only in part, because the servant theme and image was constantly pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was going to redeem and set his people free in the fullness of meaning spiritually from sin, condemnation and wrath. And I want us to look at some things that are given to us here concerning the shepherd, the servant, the nation Israel. We were told in our communion season of the four or five songs of the servant that are given to us by Isaiah. We looked at them some time ago. And the first of them is given to us here in chapter 42. And here in chapter 42, we are given a description of the character and the function of the servant. The servant is to be gentle in his dealings with people. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. That's the distinctive quality that is brought out and highlighted for us here. That meekness of character. But we must always immediately put in that that meekness is not equal to weakness. The servant stands up and speaks out when that is needed. He speaks the truth even when it hurts those to whom it is given. We see the way he speaks and the way in which he deals with people with compassion. But where it is needed, there is also confrontation. That's the way the servant deals with the people. But the nation of Israel themselves was also to be like this. They had the knowledge of God. They had the revelation from God. They were a different people, and that difference arose from belief and trust in God. They were a pool of light. A pool of light in the midst and surrounded by dark nations. And their missionary approach was to attract others to that light. Living was what was significant for them, rather than speaking out and telling of others. They had to live out a dynamic, magnetic quality of life. They had to live out with an appealing beauty that would draw others in. They had to be that light in a dark nation, amongst dark nations and peoples. That was their function. These qualities in their life of gentleness, attractiveness, but upright, straightforward, plain speaking when it was required. And things have not changed today still. That is what we are to be yet as God's people. We are to be his light in a dark world. The book of Deuteronomy tells us this in chapter 4. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the light, in the sight of the nations, who shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. We sometimes think that evangelism is something that focuses and is seen in the New Testament church. But it is also seen in this way in the Old Testament church also. They were to live as a different nation and a different people, with a contrasting lifestyle, with an attractive lifestyle. And by the way they lived, with this rich knowledge of God, day after day, living for him, relying on him, the joy of his presence with them, by that quality of life, they were showing that other faiths and other nations were empty. And they had a permanent and a full foundation, and they had a God that met all of their needs and enriched their life beyond anything that other peoples had. That loveliness, that beauty, that attractive quality of following Jehovah, of following Jesus, and of obeying his word. That's a function and a purpose that these Old Testament people had to fulfill. And it's a function and a purpose that stands still for us today if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament talks about we are living epistles. We are those who know the Lord, and sometimes the only contact that people will come into contact with Christianity is what they see or what they hear from us. Today we're living in a society where churchgoing is not as strong as it once was. And the only contact with anything Christian that most people have round about us is what they see or what they hear from us. And so we're thrown back on this function and purpose of Old Testament teaching again. We have to have that dynamic, magnetic, attractive quality about us that would draw people in. Not to ourselves, not to the church, not to a denomination or organization. We draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to spend time with him. We need to drink of his word daily. We need to know him as our Savior, with whom we walk each and every moment. And as we do so, these qualities will be picked up by others round about. The enemies of the gospel in Acts chapter 4 were persecuting Peter, and they said, no matter what they said about him and them as enemies, they said, nevertheless, they had spent time with Jesus. And that's what's required of us to function as we ought in drawing people in. It comes back to what we say, a picture is worth a thousand words. And if we have that living epistle picture, then we will draw others to the Saviour. Well, that's the first thing I want us to notice here. But we know it, and it's given to us here, that sometimes there can be failures along that way. Our Lord himself knew it. As we read these two verses, think of them as they applied in the life of the Lord. I'm now going to read verses 18 and 19 of chapter 42. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? This word came. The call goes out to the very ones who are in much need, to the blind and to the deaf, to the Jews in the days of the Lord. And yet we see in a most amazing thing, those who knew what the Lord was speaking about, those that were familiar with Old Testament teaching, they themselves were blind and were deaf to the good news in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or they knew well their Old Testament, but they were not understanding what the Lord was saying. A failure, a response that we see so often even from ourselves. Representatives, missionaries, the Lord's people, Christians, sent out by Jehovah in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with his message, and yet how many people refuse to accept it, close in with it, to see it or to learn from it. The expectation was that people would join in with Israel. The expectation was that they would come and worship and serve the living and the true God. But there was a failure. Why? why did they not come in as was their expectation? It was because Israel had slipped and slid. That's the problem that Isaiah highlights. The people in the days of Isaiah were walking away from God. We mentioned it at the top of our sermon, the way in which they had to go into exile because the Lord had to burn out that sin from their life and to correct them and bring them back to himself. In the days of the Lord himself, there were those who should have known better. In our own day, as we speak, we find troubles and problems. We look around our own church scene and we see that things are not as they should be. The church is not as robust and as attractive as it ought to be. And people are not drawn in. We can so often lose that status in the world today. And because we lose that status, nobody listens. Our life is not backed up. Or at least our words are not backed up by our life and our living. And if there's no consistency between what we say and what we do, people will not listen. And if there is no difference between the way we live and the way others live, then there is nothing attractive to draw them in either. That quality that we spoke about at the beginning must be emphasized and repeated by us. We need to have that attractive quality that is different to draw people in, to attract them to our Savior. These people, they lost that status in the world, but they lost also the protection by the Lord. In the past, we've known it, if anybody were to dare to rise up against God's people, that would arise, that would stimulate the Lord to come on their behalf to defend them. He is their God, they are his people. But now that relationship is broken down. God is a jealous God. And he will not allow that situation to continue. And when we ourselves lose the distinctive characteristics and qualities that mark us out as belonging to the Lord, when we lose these features of the Christian life, then the breath of heaven will no longer lie upon our lives. And we are in serious trouble. It's not just we've lost the protection from those round about us that threaten us. There's a much, much greater danger. Not only do we have to face a hostile world, but if we stray and wander and err from our God, we have to face a hostile God. Failure to be what the Lord would have us to be will stir up the Lord to correct us. He will rise up to make us once again what we ought to be. That light, that attractive quality to draw others to himself. And how is it brought about? Again, it's given to us here in verse 25. He's poured upon him the fury of his anger. The Lord does not accept a situation where there's fault and error with his people now or with his people then. The Lord will have his people to be like himself, and he will not tolerate defects with them. And sin will not have the last word with God's people. Things may not be working out. The Lord will intervene to correct us in little ways to begin with. life begins to crack and to crumble. Life begins to fall apart, not working out as they once did. Again, we get a flavor of that back in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we read at verse 30. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. You see what's happening? There are cracks beginning to come into the life of society or the life of individuals. Because things are not right with God. Things are not working out as they planned or as they intended. There is a displeasure from the Lord upon the way that they live. And if they don't listen to what the Lord is saying through these little things, the Lord does not give up and go away, but the Lord simply increases the pressure and increases the warning. Until eventually, it brings them in, as we have in verse 25, to the furnace. And the Lord will melt, and the Lord will burn away, and bring out the dross to restore the purity of the metal. He always starts at the lowest setting, and with the shortest time. A little thing here, a little thing there. Are we listening? Are we seeing what the Lord is doing and saying? But if we're not, and if the Lord is interested in caring for his people, it only gets hotter, harder, and longer. Because the Lord will correct his people, and the Lord will restore them to what he would have them to be. That very pattern is set out for us here. In verse 19 it says, who is blind but my servant, who is deaf as my messenger that I sent? The first thing is, they're not seeing. And then you move on to verse 24. For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his law. First of all, they weren't seeing. Then they weren't obeying. Well, if that's the case, therefore the Lord has that third aspect and option for them. Therefore he has poured upon him the fury of his anger. Not learning from the intervention of the Lord, then the Lord will deal in that severe way with them to bring them back to himself. He speaks to us in the providences that visit us day by day. Things that only we understand. Things that happen in our life that has no significance to anyone else but to you or to me. But the Lord is speaking, and the Lord is calling us back to himself. The Lord, yes, he might speak compassionately, but there are times when he also speaks with confrontation where that is needed. And something else we can get out of this, when the Lord is dealing with his people, correcting them, calling them to himself. Yes, and if maybe the time is that they have to go into such severe and hard experiences, chapter 43 brings home to us something that we can all understand. There's a certain note of fearfulness struck for us here. Yes, they're going through severe testing times, justly so. But although they're going through these times and there's a certain fearfulness upon them, here we're given an assurance of the promise that they will not be totally destroyed. But now, thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. God has a relationship with his people. God has given wide-ranging promises to strengthen them and to encourage them. A golden chain that reaches right down to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, what if? We often engage in that kind of discussion. What if? What if the nation were to be wiped out because of the fury of the anger of the Lord poured upon them? What then of his promises and all that he has spoken of? These words lay to rest that fearfulness. Don't be afraid. The Lord will protect his interests, his promises, and he will bring his people pure back to himself. It means, yes, they have to go through these experiences, but the Lord will not go back on his word. The Lord will not repent of what he has said and what he will do. He will have a holy people, a holy nation. He will have a pure and perfect people to himself. He will make them attractive again. He will make them what they should be. Once more, he formed them, he's created them, he's brought every aspect of their character into being. I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. There's the Lord putting a marker down. They are his people. And even when they do go through trying and difficult times, and can we not see that as a reflection of something which perhaps we're going through ourselves? We are his. But perhaps there's something in our life that's not right, that shouldn't be there. Perhaps we're going through trials and difficulties because we're standing up for the Lord. So often, different perspectives can fit into this verse. But whatever the trial that we might be going through, fearfulness and anxieties sometimes accompany that experience. And here is the Lord saying to his people, I know you. Yes, especially as brought out by the use of Jacob and Israel. That's the way the Lord refers to his people. He's saying to them, he's saying to us, I know you. What was Jacob like? Jacob was a deceiver who lived by his wits. God says, I know you. That's the kind of character that might be in his people then and with us still today. Israel. People who've been through dramatic experiences, but these dramatic experiences haven't changed them. They're still the same. The Lord knows his people. You and me. And that knowledge does not deter him. That knowledge does not affect the promises that he's given or that he's made. Even when you go through exile, even when you go through correction, even when you go through hard and difficult experiences in life today, the Lord is saying, lean upon this reality. Lean upon this foundation. You are my people. And I will have you back with myself. If the holiness of God and the sin in God's people did not constitute an obstacle when God started the relationship with them, he started that relationship and his holiness and their sin was not a problem or an obstacle in that relationship. So also there will be no obstacle from either of these sources for the relationship to continue and to bring fruitful conclusion to it. They are his in his grace, in his resolve, in his pleasure. But he will not allow them to remain where they are. The Lord will constantly correct, improve, and refine his people then, and he does it to his church now today. They will come through trying and testing times. Trying times that might leave us fearful over the change. But the thing we have to go back to is that we are precious to Him. And He will not lose even one of His people. And that brings me just simply to one last thought. We've gone round full circle, as it were. What was the function of God's people? It was to be an attractive island of light in a dark place, to draw people to Himself. Well, that's the same point we've now reached through all the process we've mentioned. Chapter 43 and verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And so it goes on, 5, 6 and 7. Here we have the people again restored back to where they ought to be. Here we have them functioning as the Lord would have them to be. Part of His family gathering from the east, the west, the north and the south, gathering the daughters from the ends of the earth. The Lord in gathering His people through the attractive qualities in the life of His own. That attraction, refined, polished, heightened by some of the experiences they go through, to remove and to burn out the dross and the things that are tarnishing and spoiling that life, witness, and ministry. There are things in our life that we can become entangled with. There are things that come into our life very slowly, little by little, drop by drop. We either become preoccupied with distractions, or things come in as a division and a wedge between us and our Lord. And we've got to be so watchful and so vigilant for all of these approaches by the devil trying to spoil. But sometimes we're not as watchful as we should be. And sometimes things do come in and they do spoil us. And when that happens, the Lord will take us in hand to correct us and to refine us. And as we've indicated, sometimes He starts small, but if we're not listening, He gets bigger and hotter and higher and harder. Because the Lord will have us back as a people that He can use, that He delights to be with and to be associated with, and to say, they are mine. The future, the purpose of the Lord that will be fulfilled through whatever it takes to make us His people. The questions we've got to ask then as we close this morning, simply these. Do we understand what God is doing in our life? That applies to both Christian and non-Christian alike. Perhaps to the Christian, it makes more sense because we've maybe been there before and we've seen what the Lord has done in the past, and we can understand what He's doing now with us in the light of from the past, in the light of Deuteronomy 28, in the light of chapter 42. Bringing us closer to Himself for usefulness in His service. But what about the person who doesn't know the Lord? And you're looking at these frustrating things and you're banging your head against the wall and you're wondering, why is this happening to me now? What's happening now? Why is my life being so disentangled? Why is it so frustrating? Why is it not achieving? Why are my expectations not being met? And all of these raft of questions flood out. Here we have a key that will explain and understand our life. These things might be happening to you because the Lord Himself is speaking with you and calling you to Himself. I don't know what the quality of them might be. I don't know what the source of them is. I don't know what you're going through, for how long and how hard. All I can give is a key to help you to open the book of Providence, to help you understand the ways the Lord deals with his people, to help you to sit beside you to read what the Lord has written and saying and showing to you, and to direct you to the one way the Lord has set before you. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. He is directing us constantly to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, drawing us whatever means are required. It might be different from you and different from me, but whatever it takes, coming into our life, speaking to us. This is the great purpose the Lord has, the great intent for each one of us, that we should know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. He works to bring us there firstly. The narrow gate, the narrow path, the conflict, the confrontation of the cross. But having brought us to know the Lord, we then walk down that narrow road from the cross to the celestial city. And the Lord sometimes uses that same method as he used to bring us to know him. He may use with us later on to bring us to know him further, deeper, better, working in our life to make us aware of our danger, to remove it where it is necessary to be removed, and to make us more like and more useful the Lord Jesus Christ. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Let us pray. O gracious Lord and God, in thy grace thou dost deal with each one of thy people, calling and speaking, coming into their life, intervening in a powerful but in a very purposeful way for each and for all of us, drawing us to thy Son. May we therefore this morning hear thy voice, and may we pick up on the way in which thou dost deal with us, that we may understand more fully, and that we might willingly go along the path thou dost open for us. So, Lord, hear us and bless us and help us now. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake and his glory. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dream were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. They among the heathen said, and we were talking about the ministry, the function, the purpose of God's people. They among the heathen said, the Lord great things for them hath wrought. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whence joy to us is brought. As streams of water in the south, our bondage, Lord, recall. Who sow in tears are reaping time of joy, and joy they shall. That man who bearing precious seed and going forth doth mourn, he doubtless bringing back his sheaves rejoicing, shall return. Psalm 126, when Zion's bondage God turned back. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.